Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for being with us. A happy Monday to you. What a weekend it was. College basketball rises to the occasion. Wreckage everywhere. In the NCAA tournament, we shall discuss. Also, David Ortiz, Big Poppy's going to join us. We're now just a couple weeks away from baseball's opening day. We'll discuss the onset of the new baseball season with David Ortiz, future Hall of Famer, coming up here in 17 minutes from now. UMBC, this could be a game that builds their program. I mean, think about Butler going to the national championship game 2 years in a row. That got them entrance into the Big East. And now Butler is taken seriously every year in March. George Mason goes to the Final Four, and you'll never forget George Mason going to the Final Four. That built Jim Larrañaga's career. He's now the head coach in Miami. VCU, Shaka Smart, Final Four. VCU, by virtue of that, became a household name, recruits much better now than it did before that run. Havoc defense becoming a catchphrase everybody in college basketball was discussing. These are the types of things that can build a program. Now, if it happens once with one game, maybe it's just a blip on the radar. But I think that UMBC will forever live in infamy. Well, Virginia will live in infamy, and they'll live in glory for being the first 16 to beat a one. It is one of the greatest upsets in sports history, not just college basketball. And it is the best, it is the biggest upset, in my mind, in college basketball history. I know people point to Villanova over Georgetown, 1985, a national championship game. Look, that's a team out of the Big East at a time when the Big East was the most powerful conference in America. And it was a team that had seen Georgetown because they were in the same league together with a player by the name of Ed Pinckney that went on to play in the NBA for a number of years. Yeah, it's a big upset, and yes, Georgetown seemed insurmountable, but they're much closer for one game than a team like UMBC out of the America East playing Virginia in a 1-16. Now, to be fair, UMBC has a player that has NBA potential in Lyles, and so that's a guy that helps even things out, and he was great. But when you look at Virginia, this is a team that lost once in the ACC. Once. And the ACC was obviously one of the best conferences in basketball yet again. Virginia lost once in the ACC, won the regular season going away, and then won the ACC tournament as well and barely broke a sweat. This is the greatest upset in college basketball history. Those that bring up Virginia's last humiliation, losing to Chaminade in 1982, I'm sorry, I can't buy that as big as this. That happens in the middle of the night, untelevised, in front of 900 people. It's just not the same. I mean, yes, they had Ralph Sampson. Yes, they were the number one team of the country. But that happens on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1982, in Honolulu, when there's no TV, and so there's no footage or video of it ever happening. I mean, it's easy to imagine Virginia walking into that game and not taking it seriously. They're playing an NAIA school that has less than 1,000 kids enrollment, that shares a campus with a high school. There's no TV cameras. It's Christmas Eve. You could imagine Virginia just taking that game really lightly. This was the NCAA tournament. Now, the talent level disparity between Virginia and UMBC wasn't as grand as it was Virginia to Chaminade. But this was the NCAA tournament. The pressure and it's a 20-point win. It's a 20-point win. Think about some of the greatest upsets in sports history. Let's say maybe the 2007 Super Bowl. Giants over the undefeated Patriots. They won by single digits. 17-14. Super Bowl III, Jets over the Colts. They won by 9 points. 16-7. The 16 seed beat the 1 overall seed, not the 4th number 1. They beat the number 1 overall seed that lost to the ACC once all season by 20. It's the greatest upset in college basketball history. It is. 33 years had passed. We had never seen a 16 beat a 1. The first time it happened, they won by 20. I think it ranks only behind the Miracle on Ice and Buster Douglas over Tyson. I think it ranks only under them in terms of the greatest upsets of all time in any sport. It just couldn't have happened. And it did. Not only couldn't it have happened, it could not have happened where they won by 20. And it did. As Reed Forgrave talked about last hour with us, there was a psychological barrier with a 16 beating a 1. No 16 had ever done it. 33 years. Didn't matter. One thing you knew going into the brackets was the 4-1 seeds move on. You just knew. Death, taxes, and the 16 seed loses. They obliterate the glass ceiling and the psychological barrier because they win by 20. 20. In today's NCAA tournament, the potential for this happening actually is greater than ever before because the great teams are no longer great. In 1985, Georgetown has Patrick Ewing play for 4 freaking seasons. The greatest college basketball players stayed the duration of their eligibility. Now, Ewing would be one and done. He'd be Anthony Davis. So, what you have is the number one seeds, the greatest teams in the tournament, that are not as steady, not as stable, not as great. They are flawed college basketball teams. And then the 16 seeds, by virtue of better coaching, better tape film review, better analytics, should close the gap. And I think also, here's one other thing to bring up. If the NBA does away with one and done, and they allow 18-year-olds to be eligible, the power teams in college basketball will become even less powerful. Because let's think about it. If you are Duke and you've got 2 lottery picks, Well, Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley wouldn't even be at Duke this year. They'd just be in the G League. They'd just be in the NBA. DeAndre Ayton wouldn't even be at Arizona. He'd just be in the NBA. When you have things like that, I think you'll see even more parity in college basketball. So the fact is, the breaking apart of the bracket this year, to me, is indicative of what college basketball is going to become, especially, by the way, guys, if this FBI probe does create widespread change in how business is done. Because if there is not an underground community of access of top-end AAU talent funneling via $100,000, hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever that costs to get those kids on campus, there's only a few schools that can afford that cost. It's going to change everything, and what you think you know going into the tournament, you just won't know. Because, yeah, that team will say it's a 3 seed, and that team will say it's an 11 seed, but ultimately they're not really that far apart. Because the 11 seed's slightly better than you would think, the 3 seed is vulnerable and flawed. This could be the start of really crazy college basketball tournaments. Now, I think also a team losing a 22-point lead, it's crazy, but these types of things happen when you've got flawed basketball teams. And this tournament, everybody's looking at Villanova, Kansas, Duke. They're flawed teams as well. I mean, Duke lost to St. John's. Kansas had a way less talent than Bill Self usually has in winning the Big 12. Villanova lost to the same Johnny's team at home. So they have the seeds. They have the brands. People assume they'll just keep dancing. Guess what? This is one big flawed tournament. And UMBC and Virginia are just indicative of that. I think it's the greatest college basketball upset in history. I think it's the third greatest upset of all time behind the Miracle on Ice and Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. And let's face it, it's a humiliation for Virginia. A humiliation. The number one overall seed got punched and lost by 20 and looked totally scattered once they trailed by 7 points in that game. Like pushing a boulder up a hill. When we return, David Ortiz is going to join us here on the show. Big Poppy, as we march towards opening day, Major League Baseball. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV on the go with March Madness Live or listen on Westwood One. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got DA show koozies.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Little wet, little drippy. Literally, it says a little wet, a little drippy on the koozies.
A little wet, a little drippy.
So,
what?
We are giving them away to 100 lucky listeners to the DA. The way you can enter, go online to our Facebook page or our Twitter page, and you'll see the directions of how to enter. That's Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Go there. Check out the instructions or on my Twitter handle, DA on CBS. You'll see how to enter. We'll take entries until April the 1st, till April Fool's Day, and then we will send out 100 of them. Just by the way, I don't do April Fools. I'm not going to tell you something and then fake it out. This is not a fake thing. Number one, I'm not really into April Fools. Number two, our bosses are really not into April Fools. So whatever I say on the air is literally what is happening, okay? So check it out. They're really cool. They're getting shipped to me coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm very fired up about them. Baseball did it right. Major League Baseball had all of these concurrent opening days where it was a Sunday night game and then a few Monday games. And everybody played on different nights or different days before we actually got to start the season. And now they're pushing it all onto one day. And I've espoused this for years. I've said baseball should have everybody play opening day and encourage people to take off of work, take off of school, just like we do for March Madness. I mean, this past Thursday and Friday is one of the most glorious days if you're a sports fan possible. Because you know you get to go get out of work or school and you've got basketball all day long. Same thing should happen for baseball. You should take off the day and be able to go out to a ballpark or watch all day on TV. So I love that baseball has done this year. Baseball's opening day is an unofficial holiday and was for more than a century when all teams played an opening day. And then it was gone. We started breaking these things up. Well, now for the first time since 1968, 50 years, all 30 teams will be playing on opening day. That's March 29th. Here to talk about it today is future Cooperstown Hall of Famer, retired baseball legend, David Ortiz, Big Poppy, Red Sox icon, joining us this morning on the show. Good morning, David. How you doing?
Hey, Damon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm more excited than ever just to see what's going to happen on March 29, where all 30 teams are going to be playing for first time in over 50 years. I mean, I played in the big league for 20 years, and I always used to ask myself, how come not everyone is playing today on opening day? Well, it's happening. I don't know if they were waiting for me to retire to do that, but I'm excited to see it happening.
I love this idea of everybody playing opening day. Let's go back to 2004 opening day for you, because you guys had come off the tough loss in the ALCS Game 7 against the Yankees, and we're still trying to break through and win a World Series for the Red Sox in that city of Boston for the first time in 86 years. What do you remember from opening day 2004?
Well, the one thing that what I was excited about, of course, opening day, you're always excited about opening day. But the one thing that I was excited about, it was that we pretty much carried the same ball club the following season. It wasn't many changes on the 25-man roster. We pretty much have the same team, and we went very far the year before. So my expectation, they still being really good the following season. So I was very excited about that season. I got really prepared. I worked extremely hard that off season because I got the little taste of what a World Series can be the year before, the previous year. So I was very excited.
Did it feel like that would be the breakthrough year? Could you sense that something was different because you guys had come so close the year before?
Definitely. I know we had the element to be able to walk into that World Series the following season. It was something that as a player, it make you feel comfortable when you know that you're gonna go with the same group of guys pretty much to compete the following season.
On March 29th, when the Red Sox are playing, I know you had last year off as well, but will it be hard for you to sit through an opening day and know that you're not playing?
Not really. Last year, my first year, not playing, I was pretty busy all year round. I'm still pretty busy now. But I enjoy watching the game. I have kids that play baseball. I enjoy watching them, teaching them. I enjoy being around my family. I enjoy doing things under my own schedule. And I also enjoy being part of the Red Sox organization. I still work with them. I have I'm going to be doing things here and there with them. So I think as a player, you know that the baseball career playing playing wise, is not forever. So at some point, you're gonna have to pass the torch to the next guy. So I get out of the game under my terms, and I'm happy the way I did it. The fans were outstanding everywhere I went my last season playing, and now I enjoy seeing what is going on the field.
David Ortiz joins us. Opening day is just 10 days away. All 30 teams will plan opening day, which is so cool. You won a World Series with John Farrell as your manager. John Farrell is no longer the manager with the Red Sox. It felt like something was amiss last year by the end of the year. What was amiss? What was wrong with the manager and the situation within the Red Sox last season?
I would say nothing was wrong. They won the division. They had a good regular season. John had a good regular season, but I think the team wanna go in a different direction. With the younger players, they wanna try something new. That's fair for an organization, and. Every manager time at some point fired, so I guess it was time for the Red Sox to move on differently, and I guess that's what they went to. I mean, the Yankees last year, they had a good season, good regular season with Girardi, and they passed the torch to someone else, now to Adam Boone. So I think that's the new thing in baseball, the organization trying different things. Everybody pretty much in baseball is 20 years old right now, so they want to have younger managers kind of keeping up with the relationship between managers and players, and that is something that I think is fair for the organization to do.
Final question, do you think the Yankees are the favorite in the division because of their offseason moves like Giancarlo Stanton?
No. The Red Sox.
How did I know you were going to say that?
All right, Edmund, you take care of yourself, all right?
All right, thanks so much.
All right.
David Ortiz, future Hall of Famer, Red Sox legend, baseball's opening day, unofficial holiday for more than a century. Then it vanished, and now for the first time in 50 years, all 30 teams will be playing on opening day. That's March the 29th, 10 days from now. So, David Ortiz, ambassador for baseball, and that's very cool because I think that baseball's doing the right thing there, all 30 teams playing on opening day. Mraz, as a unabashed Yankee fan, would you consider the Yankees to be the favorite of the division this year?
In the division, absolutely. Still, the Astros is the favorite in the league, but the Yankees the favorite in the division.
Yeah, I would agree. Astros are the favorite in the AL. Yankees are the AL East favorite.
Don't sleep on the Twinkies this year.
You like the Twins, huh?
I think the Twins pull out surprise over the Indians and win the AL Central.
Okay.
Indians going to miss Brian Shaw. Pitched a lot of innings for them.
How about that?
How about that? A lot of MLB hot takes coming out of me. As you can see, my hockey, basketball, and football teams have been dead for quite some time.
So you've been locked in on baseball. Yeah, you've shifted your attention. Andrew Bogish, Yankees or Red Sox, the favorite of the AL East?
Yankees.
Pains you to say that.
Yeah, nothing is good news today.
Nothing. Your bracket is crap, so you might have to eat the hot salsa. Yeah. One spicy moment.
Yes, the Yankees are good. Met pitchers are getting hit by line drives and breaking hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not the best time.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. You're wearing a Syracuse hat right in front of my face. And it was them that really put my bracket in the you-know-whatter. How about that? How about that?
All right. When we come back here on the show, soundcheck, your best audio of the day, including Colts GM Chris Ballard discussing why Indy traded out of number 3. And how about Big Baby Davis and the ridiculous arrest over the weekend for Big Baby? My, oh, my. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins more. Mornings Mothership.
Well, here's the deal, DA. Back in the day, I was kind of a living legend in the rent-to-own industry.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't doubt it. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio, 38 minutes past the hour. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way you could save money. Switching to GEICO, go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. By the way, guys, we're on satellite radio, so if you're traveling, if you're on the go, if you're outside of your normal listening area, or perhaps your local affiliate doesn't carry us. That would be a shame, but there are still ways you can listen to the show. Satellite radio is a good way. Sirius 213, XM 201 are the channels. Sirius 213, XM 201 to listen to us on Sirius XM. You know, I just got to get this off my chest. Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Ernie Johnson are a wonderfully delightful way to watch the NBA. They watch those teams all the time. Obviously, Kenny and Charles had significant careers in the NBA. They've been locked into the league for decades. They've got credibility. I know they can be goofy. I know Charles can say outlandish things. But they are in a studio every week for the duration of the season following the NBA. And obviously, Kenny and Charles are consistently talking to guys in and around the NBA. They're constantly around it, so they have context about everything. And again, I know they can be goofy. I know that Charles can say outlandish things, but by and large, you know that even if their opinions are a little off the wall, they have background on what they're talking about. I think that this experiment with the Turner NBA crew on college basketball is just a nightmare. I just find it to be a nightmare. The biggest upset in tournament history happened, and none of them can really talk or discuss about what they just witnessed. We largely just get the most obvious and generic cliches and platitudes about upsets or guys playing hard or the three-pointer. I mean, it really is no depth. I don't think Zerbiak is adding much to that either. I just don't think that, by and large, anybody on that set really knows what's going on. And I don't blame them. They're locked into a totally different league all season long. And then they parachute in for a month. What are they supposed to know about UMBC? What are they supposed to know about Nevada? What are they supposed to know about Loyola Chicago? Yeah, you can be given press briefings and packets and research, but they don't really have context because it's like they're cramming for a final but have never taken the class. It's not fair, I think, to the viewer to be doing this. I really don't think it's fair. Jay Billis is by and large, by far, the sublime, supreme, best college basketball analyst out there. And he's now part of tournament coverage because ESPN doesn't have it. Say what you want about Doug Gottlieb. And I know he's a love-or-hate kind of guy. He's a polarizing dude. I always really enjoyed his show here on CBS Sports Radio. I think he's really good. But I get it. Some people don't. But one thing you can't argue, even if Doug has aggressive takes or polarizing opinions, that dude is tweeting about the Mountain West in November. He is locked into every college basketball game all year long. How could we not have those people on this coverage? I mean, the tournament's great. But when you come out of a huge upset or a 22-point collapse, like Cincinnati did yesterday, we go back into the studio and the analysis on how Cincinnati lost a 22-point lead is, well, boy, the brackets are really busted. Yeah. And a lot of upsets. Uh-huh. And that was a crazy comeback by Nevada. And that's it. Because they haven't watched Nevada all season long. They haven't watched Cincinnati all season long. I just think it's such a disservice to the viewers right now that our analysis stops as soon as the game is over. Because the analysts, the play-by-play guys, the analysts, they've watched college basketball all season. And then the studio teams just have not. I mean, could you imagine? Just think about how ridiculous this whole thing is. Could you imagine if going into the NFL playoffs, we just put the College Game Day crew on it? Or vice versa? If instead of doing College Game Day and Desmond Howard and Herb Street and Tebow, instead, how about we just put Terry Bradshaw, Jimmy Johnson, and Michael Strahan at the college football Final Four? We'll start at the Rose Bowl. That's what's happening here. Think about this. Let's put Howie Long, Michael Strahan, and Terry Bradshaw at Auburn, Alabama for the Iron Bowl. And let's see their breakdown. Of course they wouldn't know what's going on. They're locked into a totally different league. And they'll be like, well, they played college football. Yes, so what? And that's what we're doing with the biggest event. All right, let's get to your sound check, your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Syracuse probably didn't belong in the NCAA tournament on Selection Sunday. It was the last team in. They had a losing record of the ACC, but they get a first four game and beat Arizona State. They get into the field of 68. They beat TCU. They get into the round of 32, and they got to go to Detroit against Michigan State. So it's an arena full of Spartan fans. And Jim Boeheim's crew pulls another upset.
I think one thing that happens, it happened one year to us. The home court is a great thing, the advantage. But when you're in a close game at the end, you feel like, you know, we're home. We need to win this game. You start to feel that a little bit. And the last couple jump shots they threw up were in the ballpark.
This is just the weirdest era of Syracuse basketball. And anybody like myself that's an alumni or has covered this team for years knows this. In the 1980s, they're a dominant program. The 1980s, they're bringing in Pearl Washington and Derek Coleman and Ronnie Cicely and Billy Owens and Sherman Douglas, and they go to one Final Four. One. The 90s happen. They fall off a little bit. They're still very good, but they fall off a little bit. The entire decade, they go to one Final Four. One. The 2000s happen. Carmelo comes in. Changes everything. Wins a national championship. One Final Four. And they always had bad losses in the tournament. They were the first 215 ever to go down when Richmond stunned them in 1991. They were the first ever 2-seed to lose to a 15. They've had so many bad tournament exits. So many years where they were the favorite and then got bounced early. And lo and behold, they were a 10 seed 2 years ago, last team in, basically, and they get all the way to the Final Four. Last year, they don't even make the tournament. 3 years ago, they put themselves on probation and take themselves out of the tournament when they weren't going to make it anyway. And now, as an 11 seed, they've won three games again. Like, there's no rhyme or reason for what's happening here. Supremely talented Syracuse teams under Jim Boeheim found ways to lose before the Sweet 16. This team has no depth, no scoring, no rebounding, lost more games than it won to the ACC, and just took out Michigan State, getting out-rebounded by 20, basically in a road game. I mean, I don't know. Get kicked by a mule, Eyes go straight again. I don't know. Fall in a well, eyes go cross. I have no idea what is happening here. And the most amazing narrative that I've seen, and if you're a Syracuse fan, you know how weird this is to see. Man, you know, Jim Boeheim's team just win games this time of year. Like, suddenly they've become the team that you can't root or you can't bet against in March, when for 40 years they were the team that you did bet against in March. This is so weird. It's like the ultimate bizarro. The ultimate weirdness. Yeah, you know, Boeheim seems they always come to play in March. They do? When did this change? There are so many Marches. Like, does anybody remember losing to Vermont? TJ Sorrentine from the parking lot. Now suddenly it's like Syracuse can't lose in March. It's so weird. Chris Ballard, Colts general manager. This is via Colts.com on whether Indianapolis traded back from 3 to 6 and now could keep trading back.
We'll still be open if an opportunity, the right opportunity presents itself at 6 to move down. But right now we feel pretty good. It would have to be a pretty attractive offer for us to move away from 6 because of the player we think we're going to get.
You know, that's in play. And I think that the Colts, if they can do it, trade down again. Because somebody might trade up to go get Lamar Jackson at number 6. There's going to be a feeding frenzy of these quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield could be available at number 6. Somebody could absolutely trade up with the Colts and they could get more picks for somebody to go grab Baker Mayfield. So I'll tell you what, I think the Colts have played this right. They grabbed 3 number 2 pick second rounders from the Jets. They move back 3 slots. And if one of these cats is there at number 6, I mean, there's 4 quarterbacks now that are going to be taken easily in the first round. Easily. Darnold, Rosen, Allen, absolutely going to be off the board. And Baker Mayfield at some point going to be off the board as well.
Baker Mayfield.
So if one of them is available at 6, which is very possible, Colts should trade out. Now, I don't know if Saquon Bradley is available at number 6, if you can pass on that.
I would take Bradley.
I think the Browns right now have it set up perfectly. You take your quarterback at 1, and then Saquon Bradley is probably available at number 4 because there's going to be 3 quarterbacks taking 1, 2, and 3.
I would take Bradley.
But a quarterback needy team that sees the Colts sitting there at 6 and Baker Mayfield available.
Baker Mayfield.
You know that that's going to be a very tantalizing opportunity.
What?
And finally, Glenn Big Baby Davis gets arrested for a lot of weed in his hotel. I mean, a lot. And so he gets nailed on 126 grams of marijuana and $92,000 in cash in his hotel room. So that's an intent to distribute. And he's also then caught on video, or not caught on video, makes a video that he posts to his Instagram account of him crushing fried chicken and addressing the arrest.
It's your boy, Big Baby, man. Don't believe all that on the internet. I will have my day in court. They just mad because a black man got money, man. Trying to keep a black man down, man. Hey, man, shout out Rollo, man. All the people, man, getting money, man. Mine's getting legal, man. A lot of jump shots. A whole lot of jump shots. Popeye chicken.
I hope he was paid for that endorsement right there. Like 10 years ago, Big Baby is on the 08 Celtics. Somebody from Popeyes is like, okay, Big Baby, we have you for an endorsement deal. We'd like you to promote our chicken. This would be great. You're part of an NBA champion. 10 years later, he's like, I still got that Popeyes deal, right? All right, I'm going to shout them out right now. I got a briefcase full of cash. I just got nailed all this weed. I got arrested. Shout out to Popeyes. Popeyes like, no, that deal is off. No, please.
That, Popeye chicken.
It does not count anymore, Big Baby. I have no idea how Glenn Davis became so overweight during his career. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Was he using the $92K in cash to just go out and crush fast food?
A whole lot of jump shots.
Yeah. That dude is whack. He he has been whack for a while now. Everybody knows on that team that he's whack. That 08 Celtics team is still the most, that'll forever be the most bizarre team ever. Big Baby's eating himself out of the league. Well, ate himself years ago out of the league. Now eating himself out of, was that a plane he was on?
Yeah, sitting on the back of a plane.
I will have my day in court.
Okay.
The engine roaring.
Okay. All right, bro. Okay, take a video of me. I'm posting this to Instagram. I want to respond to these allegations. Yeah, but Big Baby, you've got like chicken grease all over your fingers, your face. I don't care. Get the briefcase in. Why, Big Baby, why do you have a briefcase of cash? Just get it in there. Make that in the shot. We can't hear you over the roar of the engine. I don't care. Also, he's sitting in the back row, I think, so I don't know what's going on.
A whole lot of jump shots.
A whole lot of jump shots and a whole lot of drumsticks. And some red beans and rice and a whole lot of mashed potatoes. Oh, that makes me so hungry for Popeyes right now. Whole lot of jump shots. Whole lot of dark meat. When we come back here on the show. Bracketology wreckage. Who was the biggest bust of the opening weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A whole lot of jump shots.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.